You're listening to the Packaging Perspectives Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to this Packaging Perspectives Podcast. I'm Derek Teal, Content Manager for BNP Media's Packaging Group. Thank you for joining us. Also with me today is VideoJet's Sherry Washburn. Sherry, you want to talk about some advances in ink technology and printing technology?
All right, great. Did you want to give me a little bit on my background or anything? Or
I was just going to do that. I was going to spring that one on you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Derek, and thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to talking to you guys about VideoJet, our inks, and packaging in general. So I'm Sherry Washburn, Business Unit Manager for Supplies, and I've been with VideoJet now 30 years. In a wide variety of roles, from doing the R&D, the research, doing technical support. I managed the manufacturing operation and production for quite some time. And now I get to help lead us in, the product management, the business management role. So, I enjoy it, love working here. And obviously, I'm still here after 30 years, so must be enjoying it somewhat, right?
Right. So being around for 30 years, then I'm sure you've seen advances as they happen throughout the industry. Now, I should ask this, just to start off, have you seen, when it comes to advances in printing technology, do you see things more happening on a macro level where something huge comes along, or have you seen things that happen more incrementally in terms of advances?
Yeah, I mean, most of it's mostly incremental. We can get into later, like the TTO, and if you want TIG, I don't know how interested your audience is in TIG pack, applications, but those two technologies have been more, stepwise incremental growth. And then, in between is more of, very gradual tweaks. Yeah.
So then let's start out. VideoJet is, produces continuous inkjet ink, or CIJ. So tell us a little bit about CIJ, what that is.
Yeah, so we started developing CIJ back in the 60s and received an Emmy nomination for the broadcast when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. That was actually a VideoJet printer printing that across the screen.
Nice, okay.
At the time, we were controlling a stream of electrons, and then we developed printers that would control a stream of ink or drops of ink. And, I'm here, 30 years later because this technology still fascinates me. We take a stream of ink, a hair thin stream of ink, break it up into tiny drops of ink in a very consistent manner, say around 60 to 70,000 drops per second. Then we charge each of those drops at a variable amount, depending on where we want it to land on the substrate. So the charge to mass ratio is what's important to deflect the drop as it flies through a field, an electric field, which will then displace it from its path of travel and then land on the substrate that's flying by at hundreds of feet per minute. Say it's a bottling line or a canning line or, some other packaging line. Flexible film has been coming into, that's one of those applications that's really growing and growing and growing. And it still amazes me today that we can do that kind of technology, The great thing about CIJ is you don't have to touch the substrate. It's a non-contact printing method. So the material can be flying by, doesn't have to touch, and it can manage very high speeds as well.
So if it doesn't have to touch, how does it stick?
Yeah, great question. We have a variety of ink chemistries in order to optimize the ink adhesion to the substrate. So if I'm looking at glass bottles, then the resins that I choose to formulate the ink out of is gonna be resins that have great adhesion to glass. And then I would customize whether, you know, it would be glass or metal or plastic or something like this. And then the other component of the chemistry, which is really important, is the solvent that we choose, because dry time is very important, right? These products are all going to get packaged in some manner. They're going to get stacked up, or they're going to get, you know, lifted and dropped into a carton, or they're going to be packed in a case or something like this. So you definitely want it dry, or maybe it even rubs or touches against the next product that's behind it on the conveyor system. So all of those factors need to be taken into account when you choose the ink that you want. So dry time, what solvent base, how fast does it evaporate? You know, what resin base do you want? What are you going to be printing on? What adhesion do you want to achieve?
And so what are some of the advantages to CIJ?
The main advantages are, you know, the speed at which you can print on packages. So we can easily print several prints per second. So it's even around, 50, 60 prints per second. So, things that are flying by, like a production line, like a canning line or a bottling line, or even flexible film, which runs at hundreds of feet per minute, it can keep up with those kind of speeds. You don't have to touch it. So it can be going by on a conveyor belt and the ink is jetted, you know, through the air to land on the substrate. So it doesn't have to touch. And then the wide variety of applications that CIJ can address is also an advantage for CIJ versus other traditional or other alternative printing technologies. And then you can also integrate it to, say, your system, like your operation system. So you could download or you could send it messages to print. So like every print could be different if you wanted to serialize something. Or you can change it on the fly. You can change it for a batch number. You could change it for a date code. You could change it for a product line. So you're converting over to a different product. Because it's variable and it can change, you know, on the very next print signal, what you want it to print. So those are kind of the traditional advantages of CIJ.
So when you're talking about control and being able to adjust things, how does the system recognize it? Is it a digital interface? And are you able to change things like the inks and the solvents on the fly like that? Or is it just changing the letters or whatever that you're going to be spraying onto the substrate?
Yeah, it would be the message that you're changing. And it is a digital. Yeah, it could be a landline type of thing, or it could be a wireless connection. It could be through a ClaraSuite system where you have all of your printers networked into your network. So there are a variety of ways to change. And you can manually input it right at the touch screen if you want to, if you want to go do them one by one.
So you mentioned that the substrate matters, the solvent matters. How do you go about finding the optimal combination for the type of product that or type of application used for a package?
We have sample labs in all of our major regions. We have 4 sample labs that are regionally located. We've got one here in the U.S. We have one in Europe. We have one in Latin America. And we have one in China so that they can receive in customer substrates, the actual substrate the customers can be printing on, whether it's the bottle, the can, the flexible package, the film, you know, everything and anything. And then through experience, the sample lab managers have done thousands and thousands of these, literally nonstop every day, all day long. And they can help choose the best ink for the customer substrate, depending on what the customer is interested in achieving, what their goals are, and then print those for them, or even print some options, and then send those back to the customer so that the customer can make the final decision on, you know, the print quality, the adhesion, the contrast, you know, what they are looking to achieve, and make that final decision.
So as we've been talking about advances in technology and printing technology and inks, what would you say are some of the newest developments in CIJ or CIJ itself? Is there anything in particular of note that you would like to talk about?
Sure. There's more and more attention from customers and from consumers in general that they want safer and more sustainable alternatives. So just as the packaging is getting lighter, packaging has less, plastic bottles are getting thinner because they want, less material that could end up in any undesirable location. You know, the same thing is happening on the printing side as well. They want options that emit fewer and fewer VOCs to the environment. They want safer options so that there's less exposure to their employees. And so that's kind of, been going on and been a growing trend in the marketplace.
So one of the things that we've seen, at least on something like labels, that what the label is for the recycling process depends a lot on the label applied to the package itself, and then that affects the recycling process itself. How do inks play into that side, the recycling component of recycling and the sustainability aspect?
So for CIJ codes, it's such a small amount of ink that's actually on the package. It's really hard to kind of quantify. But what some customers have done is customers ask us, is our ink compostable? Mm-hmm. Well, so we look at, so we print on the package and then the package goes through whatever the composting or the recycling process is. And we don't see a difference in recycling or composting, whether there was an ink printed on it or there was not an ink printed on it. So from that aspect, it does not seem to hinder any of those processes that are downstream or post-consumer.
So you would say then if there isn't that much that affects post, that it would be more on the pre side where the VOC is emitted during the application process or in the creation of the ink itself?
Yeah, exactly. So here in the U.S., we have the U.S. Clean Air Act, and it really focuses on how much VOC or volatile organic compounds get emitted into the atmosphere. And then there's some cities which don't achieve that standard, right? Like LA, New York, Chicago. And so there's limits on how much VOC that companies are allowed to emit before they need to do some remediation of some sort. And also, honestly, I'm not an expert in that, but customers ask for lower VOC materials, especially when they're in those areas. So California and big cities and such. VOCs are considered to contribute to ozone depletion and also smog formation. And those regulations sort of address that class of materials.
So switching at the top, you mentioned that, CIJ might be more of an incremental type of advance. Where are you seeing more of these macro, the larger type of advances within printing or inks and so forth?
Yeah, TTO has been one of those that has really started growing. So we have huge growth in TTO.
So what's TTO?
Which stands for thermal transfer overprint. And it's a technology that uses a ribbon. The ribbon is a PET base or polyethylene terephthalate, the same material that is used to make soda bottles, so PET. And then on top of it, you have a layer of ink that is great for printing on flexible film. So in the flexible film machines, you have the flexible film, and then the machine then is a form, fill, and seal machine, actually forms the pouch, fills it with the product, and then seals it, right? And during that process where the form, fill, and seal machine is forming that pouch, it's manipulating the film to do that, is a perfect location to integrate a TTO printer. And so the film can run through the TTO printer. It can print any variable data you want, lot code, date code, contents or barcode or any other, image, coding and marking image that you would want. And then it goes on to form the pouch, fill it and seal it. And then you've got your end product there.
So you're saying where something like CIJ might happen after the package has been formed and it gets applied there, that this happens before, as the package is being formed?
Yeah, absolutely. The TTO has to be integrated before the film is formed into a package, because TTO is a contact printing technology. And so you actually have to touch the ribbon to the film in order to print. CIJ is much more flexible. So with CIJ, you can print before the package is formed, during that process of producing the pouch and filling it and sealing it, anywhere along there. And you can also print with CIJ after the pouch is formed and is exited, you know, it's filled, sealed, and now it's exiting the machine, and you could print there as well. So it's much more flexible that way.
So if CIJ is more flexible, what would be the advantages to using TTO?
Yeah, thanks. There are some advantages to TTO. Most notably is print quality. With TTO, you can get letter perfect print quality. You can actually form the full letters. You can have different fonts and that sort of thing. You can have high quality, high resolution barcodes and graphics and images and other things like that. With CIJ, of course, you're printing drops of ink. So you're always going to end up with a dot matrix type of resolution. You're not going to get that letter quality that you get with a TTO printer. So those are kind of the major differences.
And with both types, I guess, there are options for food safe inks, food safe applications for both CIJ and TTO.
Yeah, food safety is a very high on our customers' priority list for sure. And the regulations are, not easy to navigate, not exactly clear, vary by country, vary by state. And so they don't make it easy for us, in the food manufacturing, coding, marking space to comply, because what's okay over here is not necessarily okay over there. The FDA has really adopted this barrier concept. So they've segmented their regulations. They have one regulation that is like food contact materials. Think about these as like cans, bottles, packages, scoops, spoons, forks and knives, right? Then there's food additives. So some things can be added to food, but it isn't necessarily food. And then of course there's food, which is kind of off into like USDA rather than FDA. And so we do try to weave through all of these regulations, help our customers choose the best solution for them, depending on what their application is. If it's food contact, then we really are very conservative and we want to say, okay, we want to make sure that it is actually food grade. And so we rely on the FDA's regulations and what is allowed to be added to food. And so we look at things like, what are food additives? What are they allowed in? But even that is not easy to navigate, because what's allowed to be printed on like eggs or cookies is different than what's allowed in like baby food formula. Like the regulations are even segmented up into the types of food and what can be allowed.
Is that because of the individual expected to consume that food?
Yeah, exactly. They have to look at the risk profile and stuff like that. We have to rely, so we do the best we can on what is allowed in the FDA for food contact, and then let our customers, they're the ultimate expert on the type of food they're producing. And whether it's going to touch the food or not, is our coding and marking image going to become part of the food, or is it going to be on the package of the food? If it's going to be on the package of the food and the package is considered a barrier, then everything is all good.
You mentioned another type of printing or inks at the beginning. What was that one? Yeah, you said TTO. And what
yes,
was the other one?
Yeah, I said TIJ, so TIJ, or thermal inkjet. So this originally started in sort of the office printing environment, where your office printer, back in the day it was called Bubble Jet. HP came out with this, and you know, other, there are other competitors, of course. And then one of our sister companies, Volke, had adopted that type of printing technologies and adapted it for some industrialized uses, especially in the pharmaceutical market. And so printing on paperboard type packages that pharmaceuticals are shipped around in, packaged in, the advantages of TIG or thermal inkjet is you get the high resolution that you get even with TTO. You get some water-based technology, so some really safe, you know, their main market is pharma packaging. And so you get water-based, you've got some ethanol-based inks, so, you know, very safe, very low odor, you know, very environmentally friendly type profile inks, and you get the high resolution, you get the flexibility of the image, can be integrated into, you know, the customer's systems that's telling the printer what to print. So can serialize, every print can be unique, every print can be different, and it has a lot of barcode capability and the high resolution needed for extremely good barcode readability.
So is the application similar to TTO or CIJ, the application process, like a contact or non-contact?
It's a non-contact, yes. So you don't have to stop the production line. You don't have to really touch the substrate, but it doesn't have as good a throw distance as CIJ. So it needs to be pretty close, almost like rubbing, to have the best print quality.
Talking about these three different types of printing or inks or uses, how is cost a factor?
Yeah, cost is always a factor. That's always top of mind for the customer, right? There isn't really, it's not like a slam dunk, this is cheaper, that's more expensive. You know, it really gets to what is the customer trying to do? What goals are they trying to meet? What's their print quality? What's their dry time? You know, what durability are they looking for? What, you know, VOC emission are they looking for? What adhesion are they trying to get? And then that really kind of narrows it down to which technology works best for them and their application. Sometimes, you know, the others, you know, like if you're on a bottling line, yeah, the only thing that's going to work really is CIJ. The other two aren't going to work. If you're in pharma applications and you need that super high resolution serialization, you know, TIG is really the, you know, the technology that's going to work. CIJ is not going to cut it. And TTO is a great option for, you know, the flexible film, because the flexible film is being managed by rollers and the form fill and seal machine. And so that can be a very cost effective, maybe the best cost effective technology of the three. And that's probably why we see such a large adoption of TTO in flexible packaging.
Great. So make sure that I'm clear on this, that while price is always a consideration, it's what should take precedence is the end goal of the user.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you try starting with the lowest cost option, but it doesn't work, it doesn't get you anywhere.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Great. So where can our audience go to find out more about Videojet, its inks, and or these technologies we've been talking about?
Oh, yeah. Great. Thanks for asking. We do have a corporate website, videojet.com. And underneath products, you can find our supplies webpage. And we have it broken down by each type of ink that we make. So we have CIJ, TIG, or TIJ. We've got the TTO ribbons you can find there. You can also find, we haven't touched on it, but we also make large character marking or LCM inks for printing on case coating, you know, and other paper and porous materials, you know, which is also high resolution.
Yeah, let's just talk more about that then.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm actually, you know, launching a new ink here very, very soon. It's a nice darker black LCM ink for printing on cases that is mineral oil free and is going to be non-hazardous. And so our customers, as they want to move to greener and greener, safer and safer inks, this is going to be a great option. It is used in the 2300 series large character marking printers, which can print alphanumeric images, logos, barcodes. You see it often, like if you go into some big box stores, you will see all of the products that are packed into cases and shipped to the various stores. So if you go to like a wholesale type store, you'll often see these out on the floor. And then other more retail stores, they unpack it for you and put it on the shelves. All of the products that are shipped to stores are shipped in some sort of case. And the nice thing about large character marking is it's variable. So you can use generic cases to ship a wide variety of products to the stores. And then you can just change the message and the barcode and the information and the contents just as needed.
So if it's on display in these big box or warehouse type stores, is it another opportunity, would you say, for a CPG to use that as branding? Is there enough quality within that
make a brand? Technology?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, for sure there is. And we have a wide variety of ink colors as well. So if a brand wanted to highlight, their brand name, so say in a color that distinguishes their logo. I don't want to like call out any particular because I don't have an approval to do that. But I think you know where I'm going with that.
Yes, I do.
They certainly could do that. So they could print, say, their brand name and color. They could print, a barcode, in the contents of what the particular, it could be a different package size. It could be a multi-pack. It could be, you know how brands have, different SKUs based on quantity and size and stuff like that. So you could have quantity, you could have size, you could have the UPC barcode on there, you could have a logo, you could have seasonal messaging, coupons, a call to action, a website embedded in a 2D barcode could take you to the brand website if they, if they wanted any sort of interaction with the consumer that they wanted to engage in, any gaming, that kind of stuff could all be built in.
And you mentioned that you can change the message based off of seasonal aspects. So it's got a fair amount of flexibility within that.
Oh yeah. You could change the message. You could change every print if you wanted to hook it up to your system and drive down from your ERP system. If you wanted to drive down a code, you could. Yeah.
Wow. And you can find out more about that as well on videojet.com.
You could. Yes. Videojet.com.
All right. Well, thank you, Sherry, for taking the time to chat with me today. I learned a lot. I hope everybody else that's listening learned a lot as well.
Great. Thanks. It was a pleasure being on.
All right. Thanks again. And for more features like this, as well as news and products, visit packagingstrategies.com and flexpackmag.com. Thanks for joining us.